Turn in your Bibles with me again. We're talking about the seven steps of the 14 ways. Seven steps of how to get your prayers answered. So we started using two scriptures, Ephesians 6:18 and John chapter 15, verse 7. Let's go to the two scriptures first, read those two scriptures, and then we will really get excited around here. So go to Ephesians chapter 6:18. We're going to read the King James Version and both of those scriptures, and then we'll go to the different ones. Now, if you're new, you can look at the notes on the wall, or at least some of the on the screens, and hope you get something to write with. So those of you watching also on live stream, we thank you for showing up tonight. So let's go ahead and read two scriptures. These are our foundational scriptures for prayer, because when you use these two scriptures, you could teach on any, move in any direction in terms of prayer. So it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So in the Amplified Bible, it says praying with all prayer. And some versions says praying with all kinds of prayer, well, all manner of prayer. And so what we're learning is learning all kinds of prayers. And so we're trying to find the steps. If I'm going to find a way to get my prayers answered, I want to know what steps I can take when I'm using my prayer. So this is a general verse of scripture. And so let's go to John chapter 15, in verse 7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. You shall ask, that's talking about prayer, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So we want to have our prayers answered. And so tonight we're going to kind of go over these for a second here, just to give people a chance to think about what you've missed if you haven't been here every Wednesday. So we talked about number one, if you want your prayers answered, you have to decide what you want. You can't be wishy-washy. You have to be very, make sure your target, the Bible says, make your requests known to God. Philippians 4:6 says, make your request. So you have to be specific about what you want so that you know what you're asking for, you know what you're believing for, you know what your target is. And when you have your answer manifested, you know you have it, finally, in the natural. But faith-wise, you already have it. So step two, read the scriptures that answers the prayers that you need. So read the scriptures, go over those scriptures in your mind, in your heart, and just go review them at least. And then step three is ask God for those things. Once you read your scriptures, then you can start asking God for whatever you need. And then step four is believe that you receive. And so we spent some time on that, because different ones have struggled with it, because how can I believe I got something when I don't have it? Well, if you explain it spiritually, then you understand it. If you understand it spiritually. So you have to, the moment you're praying, you have to believe you receive by faith. And you can't use your natural senses to believe something. You have to use your heart. You're believing from the inside. You're using your heart. That means you're using without, you know, your sense knowledge. You're using spiritual knowledge, and that's from the Word of God, that you believe you receive something. And then we talked about, we did some sessions and believe that you receive. And so step number five tonight, we're going to talk about step number five a little bit more, and that is refuse to doubt. Refuse to doubt. So if you're looking at prayer tonight, you're going to have to do this. Because in some things, you're going to have to wait longer for your answers. Lots of times, your prayers are not going to come in instantly. You know, we live in an instant world. We drive around, the building to get our coffee at Tim's, and if the long line is too long, then you would get mad. And, so if it's going too slow, you know, what's wrong with this place? This is supposed to be, a drive-through. And so we have a lot of those kind of things. So we're having problems with getting something instant. So you have to. So in terms of In terms of your answered prayer, you have to wait sometimes. And so you got doubt, so you have to deal with doubt. So we want to talk about doubt tonight, but let's go ahead and read a few scriptures here. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 and 22. We're going to read the scripture and show you why the scripture is important for you when it comes to, refusing to doubt. You know, here's Solomon writing his letter, and he says, my son, and it could be my child. If you have a daughter, my daughter, it could be my child. So my son, attend to my words. Incline my ears unto my sayings. You know, what is God saying? What he said yesterday is still good for today. What he said to them is good for us. So his word never changes. God never changes. So verse 21, let them not depart from your eyes. And so what happens when you're doubting is that you get your eyes off what God said, spiritually speaking, and you get your eyes on the natural or the circumstances if it's not changing. So you get your eyes focused on the wrong thing. You know, over in, I think it's Numbers 27, where there was this incident where Israel had sinned and the snakes came and started biting the people and people were dying. And God says, Moses, make a serpent on a pole, and when someone looks at it, they will not die. And so they had to keep their eyes on that pole, that snake on a pole, and they'd be healed. And so what happens is that when they looked at the snakes, looked at the circumstances, they died. So in certain situations in life, when we're praying and believing God for something, and if you're in a faith fight, you know you're in a faith fight. You're believing something. It's life and death. It's disastrous, or you're going to have victory in something. You have to keep your eyes on your prize. You have to keep your eyes on what God said. More than anything else, even if the doctor says, that's it, what are you going to do? Are you going to believe the doctor? No, you're going to stay with God's word. And no matter what people say to you, you have to look at the Word of God. Now, most of the time, and we talked about this with some clarity, and I think we continually have to renew ourselves in this thinking, because we live in this world, and we live in two worlds. We live spiritually and naturally. And most of the time, you're going to have to walk by sight. But when when life is contradicting the Word, you have to go with the Word. And if you don't go with the Word, you're going to go down. You're going to die. So you have to stick with the Word. And so many times people get caught up and start looking at the natural circumstances, and they crumble. So we don't want to do that. So we're going to have to stay with that. So he said, "Let them not depart from your eyes." Verse 21. So if you're doubting, you've got your eyes on the wrong thing. Keep them in the midst of your heart. In other words, you know, whatever you store in your heart, it's going to stay in your heart. In other words, you're not going to use your natural senses to believe. You're going to use your spirit. You're using your spirit, you're going to believe with your heart. And so, verse 22 says, "For they are life." That was his words, are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So this is critical when it comes to believing God, and you're praying for something. And, you know, lately I've seen some nice things that went across people's lives where they believe God, and people sometimes phone me late at night or early in the morning to agree with them in prayer. And I usually ask someone, what scripture are you standing on? Because if I'm standing on a scripture and you're not standing on a scripture, specifically a scripture, then it's not going to work if you want me to agree with you. You're asking me to pray for you. So a lot of times you have to agree together. And so if you ever phone me and you want me to agree with you, I'll ask you what scripture you're standing on so that I can hook up with you. So it's a prayer of agreement, right? So we're agreeing together. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so we're believing God together. And so so someone prayed for me, and usually I can make a little adjustment with that. When someone asks me to pray for them and they're not really a Christian that is knowledgeable, So I will allow them, I will quickly shift that around and said, okay, I'll take reins. Just allow me to believe if you just stay neutral and I'll believe. So you can do that with someone who's not really an informed Christian. They don't know enough. So God's not going to charge them, he's going to come to their level. And God will do that. So we're going to believe with someone. So someone who's not an informed Christian, they're baby Christians. We call them baby Christians because they don't know very much. Or they never had opportunity to grow. They've been a Christian for 10 years, perhaps, maybe 5 years. And they've never had a chance like you to sit in the church like this where the word is taught regularly. So those people that are not like that, you can pray for them. You can agree. You can go ahead and take over and pray with them, for them. Because they're babies. You know, I see Ryan over here. He's got a baby. We don't expect that little baby to believe God for themselves. That's the parents' responsibility, right? So everybody, we all in a different level of spiritual growth, although we might be the same age sometime. But sometimes people are down this way, lower, because they haven't had a chance to develop spiritually. It doesn't go by age. And so it goes by opportunity and where you were and what's been presented to you, and you took that advantage of learning. And so, and the other one is if someone's not a Christian. See, God will answer unbelievers. I was looking at this morning in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius. Well, he was a man. He was not born again, but he seemed to love God, and he's believing God, and he was giving to God, giving alms. Somebody said, "What is alms?" You know what he said? He gave alms regularly. He had a lot of arms. But anyway, so he says it says there that God sent an angel to him to tell him to go and call for a man, what is his name? Peter? Go see Peter. So he got Peter, and the angel went to say, Peter, call for this, go get this guy. So they got this guy, because, angel couldn't preach, usually don't preach the message. So they got someone to preach the message to them. Right? Anyway, we'll come back to that some other time. It's going down like a lead balloon here. But it's too much information. You don't need all that information. That's what happens to teachers. They want to teach every little thing. Okay. So anyway, you have to pray for me. Are you believing God with me? Okay. I got, they say I have a touch. I don't like to make a bad confession. Okay. But growing up, they said, that Rum was a bad kid, because he's like a monkey, and I'll be climbing on the wall, and he's bad, that Roma, and my nickname was Monkey, and so because I would just if I got bored, I'd start climbing the walls. It's cool, but they call this today ADD or ADHD. They label it. They give this devil a label. Anyways, they say, that Roma man, he's bad. In my family, they say, he's too much sugar. I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. Okay. Okay, so anyway, let's go ahead and read Philippians 4:6, the Amplified. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. So that's a little bit unclear to us. That's the old King James Version. But in the Amplified, it talks about don't be anxious about anything. Don't have any anxiety. God doesn't want us to be anxious or have anxiety. Amen. One time I used to be proud that I had anxiety issues and tell people how bad my anxiety is. One time we were talking about where kids were small, and we're talking to Natasha, and she talked about something. It was allergies. She said, my allergies are acting up, she says. And Anita was correcting her. She said, okay, then the devil's allergies are acting up again. They're trying to make her have a good confession of faith, But Anyway, so be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So we have the opportunity to present our need to God, although God knows everything. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 says that God knows every need. But because he works by this thing called faith, we have to ask him. Although he knows everything, the Bible says, this is something that, you know, we teach about, you know, what did Jesus say about prayer? And one of the things he said, that even though God knows everything about you, you still have to ask him. Yeah. And so you have to ask in faith. And notice we're going to go over here to James. James chapter 1, verse 6. And we're going to talk about doubt. We're talking about refusing to doubt. When you pray for something, refuse to doubt. So how do you do that? How do you refuse to doubt? How do you not doubt? So James chapter 1, verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavered is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind tossed. So he's saying, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, or some version says not doubting. So when someone wavers, the scripture gives this, doubting is like being in one opinion and another opinion, and next minute you're good one day, next day you're bad. You're not doing so good. So you have to stay firm. No matter what's going around you, you have to stay firm. If it looks bad, you're going to stay. Hey, the principle is there. I'm sticking with the principle because the principle never changes. Situations in life change, but the principle remains the same.
Amen.
Everybody say the principle.
The principle
remains the same. Amen. So that is our anchor. That is our principle. That's the law. God's word doesn't change, but we change. Our people change and situations change. But if we stick with the word, we're going to be okay.
Amen.
Sometimes when you pray for something, it might even get worse. I remember Jesus prayed for, you know, the Bible said that Jesus prayed for someone and that person seemed to got worse. But he got better. And so we don't look at those things. So we were talking about tonight, not doubting. So, something I want to bring across to you is that thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words will lead your heart out of defeat and into victory. So we can't speak negatively. It's easy to speak negative when something bad happens. Because you start speaking according to how you feel. And so we don't speak how we feel. We don't call it like it is. You know, don't call it like it is. Don't say, you know, agree with the circumstance. Agree with God's word. Everything's okay. So you got a chance to speak a good report and a bad report. The good report and bad report, you know, the Israelites, you know, when God told them, go over the land, search the land, take the land because I gave it to you. And the majority of people start speaking negative, and they saw the negative and they spoke the negative. And there was two people out of the 12 that went over to land to spy out the land. They saw the good and they believed God. No matter the walls were great, the wall around the city that they were going to attack was huge. And the people living on the other side were giants and were just little. But they saw God with them. Well, you know, with God, who can beat you? So they said, we can take the land. So they had a chance to speak. And so when we pray and believe God based on his word and things are not changing, it's easy for you to get emotionally distraught and upset. You have a chance to either act on how you feel or act on what you believe.
Amen.
You know, that's the truth, right?
Amen.
So you choose to act on what you believe. So I heard this many years ago in 1978. I was at a convention here in Thunder Bay. It was an AA conference. I had a man, but his name was John the Indian. And he'd been a long time alcoholic on the street, and he spoke faith. I liked him, and I got the tape, and I listened to it over and over and over over the years. And the first time I ever heard that. He said, I act on what I believe, not on what I feel. It's a spiritual law. So if you're going to act on the way you feel all the time, then you're going to be a yo-yo. But you have to stay with the principle.
Amen.
So that's what we're talking about when it comes to prayer. We stick with the principle. So in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, he says, this is how faith talks. This is what Caleb and Joshua said. Let's go up at once and take the land. And they're facing great opposition. And you will have that, you're going to have that opportunity every day. It doesn't even have to be a prayer thing. When you face situations that are challenging what you're believing, you're going to say, you know what? I got this. You're not saying it because you're so wonderful and awesome. You're saying it because God's word is true.
Amen.
You know? And so that's what we're doing when we're saying that. You know, I said, come on, bring it on. I'm ready. Because Philippians says, I think it's, can we put up there Philippians chapter, is it 4:13? I can do all things through Christ. Is that what it is? Let's pull it up there and put it in the Amplified Classical Edition, since there's a lot of classical people here tonight. Okay? Okay, look at it. It says here, I have strength for all things in Christ. You know, I believe, you know, in our life, there's going to be a time when you're going to feel weak emotionally. Hello? Don't read any further. I'm not gone past that yet. I'm saying, anyway, I have strength for all things in Christ. We're in Christ, and we can have that strength. God says you're going to have strength. So who empowers me, you're not doing things alone. You don't have to go through life alone. Okay, so I am ready. Pastor Steve? I am ready, right? We said that today. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses me inner strength. So come on. I'm ready. Let's go, devil. Come on. Is that all you got? I mean, you know, you can act like that in church when the song service is over. You're all juiced up. And the first 5 minutes of the service, and all like, whoo. And the anointing kind of waned a little bit, and people getting settled in their chairs, and it's getting kind of cozy to start falling asleep. Then you act real tough, like on the street, you know, you're on the schoolyard with all your buddies and all your brothers, big brothers are there, and you know, you're facing the schoolyard bully. Come on, okay? But then everybody disappears after school. They left home. They went home early. But you're alone now. You're going to face it. You're going to face the bully alone. No one's singing hallelujah behind you. And you got to face the giant. You got to remember this. I'm not doing this alone. Remind yourself you have Jehovah Shammah, the ever-present God. Amen. He's Jehovah Shammah. When you worship God, Lord, I worship you. You're the ever-present God. You're here with me. You're in me right now. And no matter what happens, you are strengthening me. You're going to take me through this. No matter what trial I'm going through, I'm coming through this.
Amen.
Amen? So this is what I think about. You know, Isaiah says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. Everybody likes an eagle. So, let every thought, let's ask you this, let every thought and desire that you have, what you have desired, affirm what you asked for. Never permit a mental picture of failure to remain in your mind for 1 minute. So you can't stop the thoughts from coming to you, but you can, you know, you can bring them down.
Yeah.
The thoughts will come to you, and the devil will try to try to dissuade you from believing and going on, but you can pull them down. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, chapter 10, verse 5, it says that pulling down imaginations. So that means you're in a faith fight, especially when you believe in God for something precious, something that you desire, and something that you're believing for. You have to take care of your mind. You have to. Your mind is not going to do things on its own. You have to take care of your mind. You have to say, no, I'm not going to think this way. I refuse to worry. I refuse to think fear thoughts. The worst scenario, you know, and I did a little bench exercise, and I said to myself, okay, what is the worst thing that can happen? Well, dying is the worst thing, you know, but after you die, you won't have to worry. You're with Jesus, right? And if somebody else dies, then Jesus is going to have to strengthen you, and he'll strengthen you. And I was at a funeral on Friday. I did a funeral for someone in their 90s, I think it was, and they're all, you know, they're. I said, this is the best funeral I've gone to for a long time, and everybody there was just happy. You know, one reason that grandma's gone now. They won't have to take care of her because she's not suffering anymore, right? You know, I had a funny thing with my mom. When my mom died, she was just 59 years old. She was suffering. And she couldn't seem to believe God. She was healed before from a number of things, even cancer. And through the gifts of the Spirit, she was able to receive, she got healed. But, you know, she kept on smoking and kept on trying to help her out there. And but she got cancer again. She got sick. And she suffered greatly. Oh, she suffered terribly with that cancer in her lungs and went all over her body. And I remember she grabbed my hand. She put her hand on the where the cancer was, and all the growth was there. And it just kind of grossed me out. Well, my mom passed away. She was a Christian, born again, believer. And if the Holy Ghost moved in the service, she had the first one dancing. And she went to be with the Lord. She went early. You know, and I had a bad feeling, like, you know, I was disappointed I lost my mom. You know, when you lose your mom, the town is not the same anymore. Christmas is not the same. When you lose your mother, life is never the same again. You know, when I lost her, I was just so devastated. And but I was happy. I was happy she's gone to be with the Lord. She's happy she has no more trouble. So I had a mixed feeling there. She's not suffering anymore. I saw her suffer for years with that. And now she doesn't, her suffering is not no more. But I miss her. So that's a conflict. You ever have conflict like that? So that's what happened to me. So I'm just sharing with you because I'm trying to relate to you. If you had those experiences, I'm sure you had. So never doubt for one minute that you have the answer. If doubts persist, rebuke them. Get your mind on the answer. The Bible says we submit ourselves to God. That's including your mind. Resist the devil. Resist those thoughts. And he will flee, for he has to leave. So eradicate every image, every suggestion, every feeling, every thought that does not contribute to your faith and in your prayer. Concentrate on the things that contribute to your confession. What you're saying about what you need from God. And so let me just talk about something here that I believe that's going to help us for a moment. We talk about doubting. Doubting means that we have two opinions about something. And let's go here. Okay, so we're going to talk about unbelief. So when you talk about doubting, you know, you're having unbelief. You're not believing right. When you're struggling, you prayed about it. Things are not changing the way you want to. Time seems to be running out. You're coming to the end. There's so many things going on when you're trying to believe for something huge. I remember Brother Hagin saying this, and I have to remind myself: if you're believing for something big, you're going to have to wait longer. Sometimes. You have to wait a little bit longer than other times for different things. And so we're believing God for different things, and I believe things are going to happen. Incredible things are going to happen. So unbelief, when you talk about let a man not doubt, we talk about here's symptoms of unbelief or doubting. So here's you when you believe in God, you prayed about something, and this is how you're going to react. So first of all, unbelief robs so many Christians, from receiving what God wants them to. So even though God has stored up so much for us, the enemy comes in and robs people from participating in what God has, said belongs to them. So let's avoid doubting or unbelief, and so that we can believe God to completion of whatever it is. So anyways, we're going to use the illustration of the Israelites. God called them. You're going to take the land. I'm going to give it to you. Go and take the land. So God told them to go and take the land. And they had fighting going on. You and I, we're not going to just, the devil's not going to say, okay, go ahead and have it. You just go ahead and take it if you want to. He's going to fight with you. And when you leave his kingdom, he's going to want to pull you back. And he's going to put every roadblock in a way to keep you back there, to keep you shut up so that you don't become effective for God's kingdom. And the more you do for God, the more you seem to have more traffic or more resistance in making you go forward. You know, that's why people are quiet. They don't want to do too much for God because, you know, hey, I don't want to bother with the devil. You know, who wants him to come visit him? So anyway, here's something. Here is a symptom of your doubting. Number one is sarcasm. The Egyptians, you know, the Israelites went over to the other side, and they were fighting. You know, they're having this fight with Moses. Moses leading them. And there seem to be, they're going to be dying in the wilderness. They wanted something to drink. They wanted water. They wanted like a Timmy's. They want, you know, something quick. So they said something like this. Is there not any grave sites in Egypt? So why did you bring us out here to die? They're being sarcastic. And so sometimes you have to watch yourself when you believe in God for something that you're not sarcastic. Your sarcasm is an indication that you're doubting God. It's a symptom. You say, oh, no, I don't doubt God, but I'm sure sarcastic at times. And so you know, you're a little sophisticated when it comes to doubting. You don't downright say, I don't believe God. No, you're saying other things, though. I tell you, you don't believe God. Another one, a symptom, is being negative or negativity. I was talking wrong, I was talking unbelief, having a bad confession. You believe in God, and you prayed in your prayer closet, and you say, man, praise God, we got the answer. Woo, glory to God. And then things seem to be speaking against what you've been praying for. He said, you know, yeah, I didn't think it's going to happen anyway. You know, I always have a problem with this. I'm just struggling with it. I struggle with this. You know, basically, no one's ever done that anyway. So you speak negative. So you have to understand that when you're doubting, you get a little negative. And you have to watch your attitude when you believe in God, that you're not gonna let your negativity bring you down. So when you refuse to doubt, you're gonna refuse to be negative about anything. And you're not gonna be sarcastic too. You know, isn't there any, you know, telling Moses, because Moses is the savior, he's the deliverer. And they're going through the land, they're going through the desert and so on. And are traveling around with Moses in the desert. You know, they went to the desert. They could have didn't have to go to the desert, but they spent 40 years there because of their talking wrong. And maybe you're in the desert because you've been talking wrong. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not your judge, but you be the judge of your own self. So, is that all we have? Tonight, they're cutting me down here. Another one is when you're doubting, there's something called murmuring. Which another word is complaining. Why did you take us out here, Moses? You know, in the desert. You know, God can speak to me too, Moses. Not only you, I can hear God too. You know, complaining, you know. We don't like this, being out here. Take us somewhere else. And so they're complaining, and so your doubting comes out as complaining. So watch yourself when you're praying for something and you start complaining. Instead of looking at the good, the Bible says in Philippians, it says, you know, do everything without complaining. Nothing. Don't complain about people. Don't complain about the prime minister. The smog. Well, we don't have smog here, but you know, we could complain about China's smog. When it's hot in Toronto, we can complain about their smog coming over here, invading our area, you know. We're complaining about all the East Indians taking over. You know, all our taxi cabs are taking over East Indians and Timmy's, you know. Circle K and all the, you know, whatever, we say things like this. So, you know, I'm not trying to look at everybody, but I'm looking at you. Because I don't want anybody, not that you complain, but so we complain about a lot of things. So we don't want those jobs anyway. You know, we say, well, you know, whatever. But it's okay, so murmuring, complaining. Here's another one, blaming. Blaming. So they told Moses, we followed you out here, and then this is what happens. There's snakes over here. You know, it's cold over here. We want something to eat. Remember, we had a great time in Egypt. We ate, you know, onions and garlic, and you know, you were eating this stupid manna. And they start complaining about it, you know. People say, you know, hey, when I was not serving God, I didn't have this much trouble before I was born again. How many of you ever said that? Let me just see your head. Yeah, I said it, like, you know, hey, I'll tell you what, you know, since I got saved, I had nothing but trouble. You know? So complaining is one thing. So, you know, fear is another thing. Of doubting. You let fear come in your life. You're doubting God. That He doesn't love you. God loves you. And He wants to answer your prayer. You know, we all love our children. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And we don't, you know, if he doesn't, little Johnny doesn't listen, we're not going to beat him up. You know, we might threaten a little bit, you know. You're not going to watch whatever TV tonight. Give me that thing here, your TV. So like being pessimistic too is another one, right? Being pessimistic, you know, oh, this never worked out. This never happened. You know, why does God answer their prayers? Why does He answer mine? you know, and then getting bitter. That's unbelief. You know, we hide these things, you know. Walking unbelief is also walking by sight. Walking by sight, looking at circumstances, if it doesn't change, you know, we tend to let down, you know, whatever. Say, oh, you know, it's not gonna, I don't think it's going to work anyway. I know I prayed about it, but, you know, listen, you know, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Right? If I don't get that, I got another chance over here. But listen, we're gonna get over this. We're not gonna doubt. We're going to trust God. We're going to refuse to doubt. We're going to not let the devil steal from us any longer. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand up.